for Rav Leibniz's comment, and he's not just saying on himself and his family. This is about all these bugs in all the generations. That's what Masorah is always about. The one who has this tremendous Masorah has a responsibility and a great desire to transmit everything to the next generation. It's just impossible. It's not shy. And I remember on one occasion of a yardside shiur, I think the Rav mentioned in the middle of the Chelek HaGadol, the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that Rav passed away, and then the Talmidim had traveled to the Beis HaKadosh, and on the way back, they stopped off these sandwiches by a certain river, and then they washed it, so it's a dime, and then there's a shayla when it came to benching, can they bench mezumin or not? In order to bench mezumin, it didn't require you have to have shloshe shaflu ka'achas. The Rav gave a shiur on benching mezumin, so at the end of, he always used to give on the yardside, the night of the yardside, he would give a shiur and halacha for 4 hours at least. In the early years, later years, it was ready, he was weak, he didn't give so long, but in the early years, he would give 4 hours, he would give 2 hours halacha and 2 hours agavah. And then in the morning of the yardside, he would give shiur all day long in Mishnayos. He used to be davening in Shabbos, then he would leave, he would fast. The family tradition was that they never fasted, only on Yom Kippur. So the time of the Rav, that everybody today is a Chodesh Shem Safar. So the Rav said he doesn't follow the family tradition, he doesn't hold the Chodesh Shem Safar. He eats and drinks and he's healthy and he feels that he's healthy enough to fast. Not only fast the Tisha B'Av and all the other times, he used to fast on the Yom Kippur. So he would tell the boys, he's not going to eat breakfast, they should go eat, and he'll start learning Mishnayos at 9 o'clock. So he used to learn Dr. Mishnayos at 9 o'clock many years. So he would learn straight from 9 o'clock to 4:30, January time. On several occasions, the boys had to tell him, you have to dial him in for 2 minutes. He would learn all day long. The students would have finals then, they would have college classes, the dean would walk in and go out. Dr. Belvinson would come and they had to go to meetings, the boys would go to the bathroom.
Shabbos, we do not fast because they're not Min HaTorah, and this is in violation of the din of Kibbutz V'Yoyden, Yoyden of Shabbos, that you have to eat on Shabbos. Of course, the time says to fall on our Shabbos, also not Min HaTorah, so we don't fast on Shabbos. There's a major difference between time and sester falling out on Shabbos or the other Taneisim. When Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tavis, or some Gedalia fall out on Shabbos, so the tables never fall out on Shabbos. But if the other ones fall out on Shabbos, then we postpone the Tanis till after Shabbos. And the Gemara says the reason why is that Akdumi Puranis of Omnif Demino, that the observance of the Tisha B'Av and Shabbos of the Thomas and so on is a form of Nihu Gavelus over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. But when Tanis Esther falls out on Shabbos, like this year, then we are marked in it, because the fasting of Tanis Esther is not a Puranis. Everything worked out well in the end. So that's why the Sefer of Eshkol, that's written by the Ravid, right, that Taina Sester is a Taina Shel Simcha, as opposed to a Taina Shel Avedah. This is how he answered the Kasha that the Rishonim posed. When did they start this practice of fasting of Taina Sester? So some Rishonim seem to learn that this was the Zman HaTanach, that this started with Purim itself. That's how some of Farshim Lamshat in the Pasuk in the end of the Megillah, that the Jews accepted upon themselves, Tibi HaShem is the Zakosam, accepted upon themselves the fast time assessment. A few of Farshim on the Tanakh write like that. The Ramban on the Gemara Megillah writes in the Mohammed on the bottom of the rib that this is very difficult. How can you say such a thing? And the Gemara Tainis quotes sections from the Megillah Tainis, and Megillah Tainis it says that on the 13th day of Adar there was a holiday that was known as Yom Nikinor, and it was forbidden to fast, it was forbidden to deliver a hesped. They would never say Tachman the whole day, because the whole day was a Yontif. So how can you say that they used to fast Tainis Esther in the days of the Tanakh? They fast Tainis Esther, and then his man Bayesheni, they changed it, and introduced Yom Nikinor, and then after the Churban Bayesheni, then it went back to the Tainis Esther. It's hard to believe. Family does Mufarshim think that it is so. Yom Nikinor, the Tainis Esther came first, and they always used to fast. And then when they had the Yom Nikinor, that Yeshua, they made it into a Yontif, and then they converted it back into a Tav. It's very strange. But the Pashtus is like the Ramban. The Tainis Esther didn't exist in the days of the Tanakh. But it came after the Yom Nikinor was in his battle. Then they started with the Tainis Esther. The Gemara says regarding all the Yom Tzedim and Megillah Steiners, there was a Machlekes Tatanoim at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, and then it continued on as a Machlekes Amoraim, whether we still continue to observe all of these holidays in Megillah Steiners after the Churban Bayis or not. So the Gemara's conclusion is that Megillah Steiners was butler, all the Yom Tzedim and Megillah Steiners are no longer observed, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim. So the Rishonim have a Machlekes when we say that Chanukah and Purim are the two holidays that do remain, that we still observe. If you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah, you're not allowed to fast on Purim, does that also include the day before and the day after, the name of Achrayim, of Chanukah and Purim? Or do you say, no, only on the day itself you're not allowed to fast, but the day before and the day after, Chanukah and Purim, is the same as all the other Yom Tovim in the Megillah Steiners, which were Batlum. So according to some Rishonim, they say that Bizman Azeh, Chanukah and Purim remain, even including the name of Achrayim, that you're not allowed to fast the day before, you're not allowed to fast the day after. So how did they ever institute this Tainus Esther in the first place? Ramban assumes that it was instituted after the Churban HaBayis, after Yom Nicanor was in his battle. Hard to believe what the other Rishonim say, that it always existed. Then in the days of the Tanakh, and the day, right when they made the Takon of Purim, right away they made the Takon of Tainus Esther also, and then later on when Yom Nicanor came around, the punkt on the same day they decided to change it. Very hard. So the Pashtun said it was introduced later. So the Eshkol is, Sefer Eshkol quotes the Kasha, a few Rishonim talk about this kasha. How do they have the right to introduce Tainus Esther, but if Yontif of Purim was Leibotlo, and the day before the day after also is part of the Megillah Tainus Leibotlo, so you're not allowed to fast even the day before Purim, so how do we talk and fast the day before Purim? So the Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that even though we observe Purim as the day before the day after, it's permissible to fast. We don't accept that opinion. That's the first step in the Mechaba. Safar Eish Pei Vav. Chanukah Purim, Mutav the Sanus Lef Neim and Achrayim. That's the position that we have adopted. But the problem is, half of the Rishonim hold not. So they hold that Bosnei Melachem, you're not allowed to fast. And everybody fasts Tanya Sester. Everybody knows about that. So that's what the Sefer Heshkol suggests a few answers. So one of the answers that he suggests is, the din, that you're not allowed to fast the day before Purim, is only if it's in a Tanya of Avelus. One has Yortzeit, so he wants to fast Yortzeit because Yortzeit is a Yom Adin. But if a person is fasting Tanya Sester, that's called considered a Tanya Shal Simcha. So that's not in contradiction with the din and the Megillah Steiners, that you're not allowed to fast the day before the day after Yom Tov Purim. It's a different kavan in the fasting here. Tainus Shal Simcha is okay. When Purim falls out on Sunday and you're Magdim, the Tainus Esther, you don't fast on Shabbos with Magdim, so the Meiri quotes two opinions, two minhagim, whether you fast on Thursday like we're doing or you fast on Friday. The Ramah quotes, what if you were to have a bris today, so everyone would eat by the Ramah thinks that everybody eats by the bris. Taz is not so convinced that that's the case. So if everybody eats by the bris, so then the Ramah says, everybody who ate by the bris should fast tomorrow. Why should they fast tomorrow? Because of the other opinion. Because others hold that when you move up Tainus Esther, you don't. Why should you move it up to Thursday? Move it up to Friday. If there's a bris, we normally move it up to Thursday, but if there's a bris on Thursday, then you follow the other opinion that you... Those who ate by the British should fast on Friday. Is Tehima permitted on Tainus Esther or not? Tehima means, let's say, a woman is a chef, and they're cooking food, and they don't remember if they put in the salt, if they put in the flavoring. So they want to taste the soup a little bit, and then they're going to spit it out. So the Gemara says in Brachas that... Te'ima is mutter on a tainus, because when the person accepted upon himself the neder ha-tainus, he only accepted achilas shtiyah kabbal alei. Te'ima lo kabbal alei. He never had a mind to accept te'ima. So on that Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yudala, Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel, and it's deep in the Lashon HaGemara, that the Gemara is only talking, the Gemara only gives his head to te'ima on a tainus yochid, where the person was mekabel tainus on his own. What if it's one of the taniyos haksuvim? Well, it's one of the tainus that appears in Tanakh, so you don't need Kabbalah, Tisha B'Av. You don't need Kabbalah. Tisha B'Av Yimuchif is there. But since there's no need for Kabbalah, so we can't be medayik in the Dorm Halacha Chaloshim and Yodim. When it comes to that, it all depends what did the person say, what did the person mean when he said that. But on Tisha B'Av, it doesn't depend on your Kabbalah. So then, from the Gemara would appear that Tehima would be prohibited. So that's a Shaila. What about the other tanais? What about Asar of the Teva, Shilas of the Tamuz? So this is a machlokes in the beginning of Hilchos finite. There's a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramo. Mechaber writes in the end of Tov Kuf Nun, Sif Dalet, he writes that the Shabbos before Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia, the Chazan should be machlokes in Shul. They should say Mishaberach, like they say Mishaberach before Bahab, Sheni Mechamish V'Sheni, following Pesach and following Sukkot. And everybody in Shul Me'en Tzuzamein, it's a tefillah, the Mishaberach is a tefillah for those who are going to fast. So those who intend to fast, when they say Amen, the Amen means Kabbalah Satinus. And those who don't intend to fast, the Amen means we give a blessing on the head of those people who do claim to fast. So that's necessary to have a Kabbalah Satinus by Sheni Mechamisha Visheni, because one is not obligated to fast. That's only depends on one's Kabbalah. And the Gemara says if you fast without having a Kabbalah Satinus in advance, it's worthless. There's no kimah. You have to be in the Kabbalah Satinus in advance. It's like a person offering a korban in the Beis HaMikdash and he was never magdish the korban. So it's not kodesh here. Also, being the Kabbalah Satinus, the Gemara considers that like tachu tzom. That's as if you're magdish the day as a yom tzom. That's the parallel to being magdish the korban before you're makriv the korban. So fasting on a tonus is near chalbeinu v'tameinu should be considered as if we were makriv this on the mizbeach as a korban. But first you have to be magdish the korban. So the parallel to the Hakadosh HaKorban is the Kabbalah Satinus. So the Mechaber writes that the same is true not only regarding the Sheni Mechamisha V'Sheni, same is true regarding Shivasa B'Tamuz and Asara B'Tevis and some Gedalia. You have to have Kabbalah Satinus. And the Minigis is on the Shabbos before these three first days, the Chazan makes an announcement in Shul. He says the Mishaberach, everybody says Amen. So all the healthy people say Amen, they have in mind Kabbalah Satinus. And all of the Cholim Eskenim who are not going to fast on Shavuot or the Tammuz and some Gedalia, when they say Amen, they have in mind a blessing on the head of all of those who will be able to fast. The Mechaber says the only three Tanaisim that were not Mechabel are Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Pasuk Nechumish. What do you need your Kabbalah Satinus? Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, doesn't require any Kabbalah Satinus. The other Tanaisim, Shavuot or the Tammuz and some Gedalia and Asar HaTetetus, the Gemara says, Nikra Din. In Manazes, Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It's optional. If you don't want to fast, you don't have to. So Tosfos quotes in the name of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, Kvar Shavyu Alai Uchayva. The minig is that we are Mekabalists. And the Mechaber understands that's the Pshat in the Ba'ag. The minig is when the Kabbal Tainis, the Shabbos before the Tannis, we say this Mishaberach and everybody says Amen. The Ramot disagrees and he says that's not our practice. We don't say Mishaberach. Never heard of it. The Shabbos before Shavuot B'Tamuz and the Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia. The Shabbos before I started the Tainus, we're not Mekabal Tainus. Many Ashkenazim, Shalom Lach Rishum Echad Mehem. We're not Mekabal any Tainus, because he understands Pshat in the Minig, Farshab Yuhu Alay Uchayvo. The Baal HaLachas Gedolos says that Bizman is the Minig that we all fast. So it does mean the Minig is that we're Mekabal Meta Tainus. The Minig is that we're Mechayif to fast. In Tam Minig, we're Mechayif to fast. And maybe you don't need any Kabbalah. So the Lishitosam, there is a machlokes, the Mechaber and Ramo later in Hilchos Tainus, what about Tzi'ina on Asara B'Tevis, some Gedalion, Shavuot B'Tamuz? So the Mechaber holds that Tzi'ina is Mutzah. Because on any Tainus where it depends on your Kabbalah, so then the Gemara says, Achila Shkia Kabbalah Lei, Tzi'ima La Kabbalah Lei. The Nedorim Halocha Achloshim Liyodim, so Kabbalah's Neder Tainus is a Neder, and it depends on what do they have in mind. So the Gemara makes an Umdin, and the Gemara shouts it up. The Gemara assesses the people's intention. They probably had in mind only to abstain from Achila Shtia. They never had in mind to abstain from Tehima. And the Ramah, the Shitasa, disagrees and says, not true. We don't have any Kabbalah Tainus on Shivasa B'Tamuz, on Gedalia, and Asura B'Tevis. The Minik has it that Yimuchayit the Spirit. So you can't Pshat Lairai. You can't interpret what did he have in mind when he took the Nedev and the Dom HaLok, HaFalash, and the other. He never had in mind Tehima. What do you mean he never had in mind? You don't need any Nedev. He's on Minik Yimuchayit the Spirit. So the Mela Tehima is awesome. So on Tainus Esther, even the Mechaber agrees that Tzi'ina is awesome. In this sense, Tainus Esther is more common than the others. So Tainus Esther, the Mechaber agrees. That's one of the three Tanaisim. We don't need any Kabbalah. He says the three are Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim and Tainus Purim. Tainus Esther, the three, but there's no need for any Kabbalah. The meaning has it that one is Mechuyif to Tzi'ina. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim quotes a tshuva from the Maharam Al Shakar, who says, Yecholim menei huil esakin b'haskama b'cherem aleim ala boim achreim lasas purim b'yom shenasa bo nes. If there's a community that experienced the Yeshua, a nes, a hatzola, whatever, a family, so that family or that community is permitted, there's no violation of Baal Pesach, they're permitted to establish that day as a holiday, that they tachnon and no hestedim, whatever, and they throw a party every year. That's not a problem of Baltasis. What is a problem of Baltasis is if it's going to be, if you Jewish people want to establish a holiday that should be celebrated by all the Jews all over the world. So then the Prichodesh interprets in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, the study of the Megillah Steiner, then you have an issue of Baltasis. So that schmecks already, that seems like a yontif. If you want all the Jews all over the world to celebrate it, then it's a problem of a Baltasis if you're writing out a yontif. So then the Gemara says it's only permissible to establish such a new yontif if it conforms to the rules and regulations of the Megillah Steiner. That's the question, what are those rules and regulations of the Megillah Steiner? So the Poshup Shat in the Gemara seems to be that you only have a right to establish a new yontif if it has something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. If you defended the Beis HaMikdash from destruction, or someone had a major donation to the Beis HaMikdash, or you improved the HaKrovos HaKarbonos or something, and the fact that they established Chanukah and Purim is because these two Yamim Tovim had to do with the Beis HaMikdash also. The Mogen Avraham at Tar Pei Zayin quotes that the Yikir, he quotes from the Tosfos, the Yikir creates HaMegillah by Yom. The Gemara says on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Amram Shuv Malei Dechayvonim Likras HaMegillah Balaylo Ulushanosa Bayom. It's interesting, in the Mishnah, in the second parak of Megillah, it never mentions Kriyas HaMegillah Balaylo. It only says Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. The Gemara points it out. The Gemara says, yeah, the Mishnah is only speaking about Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. How come? How come the Mishnah doesn't mention Kriyas HaMegillah Balaylo? Very strange. Shlomo Lavilna has a suggestion. He thinks that maybe in the days of the Tanaim it didn't exist. Maybe Mikra Megillah Balaylo was only instituted by Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who was after the Tkufas HaTanaim. He was the beginning of the Tkufas HaMaran. Shua ben Levi was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan, the first generation of HaMaran. Even those Rishonim say explicitly, not so. The Ritva and others assume that Mikra Megillah Balaylo did exist in the days of the Tanaim. But still, they agree, as Tosfos points out, that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. So this is what prompted the Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfos to say a Kiddush, that when you read the Megillah Balayla, you say Shech Yonah, because it's a mitzvah, bom, mizman, mizman, you haven't read the Megillah since last year. What about when you read the Megillah Bayom? You just read the Megillah last night. So you still say Shech Yonah. It's not a mitzvah, there isn't such great excitement over the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. But you just read the Megillah last night. So that's how the Rambam holds, and that's how the Mechaber passed, and that's how the Vilna Gaon follows that opinion. When you read the Megillah Bayom, you don't say Shech Yonah, because you already said Shech Yonah last night, and there's no great excitement in reading the Megillah Bayom. So the Ramah says that we follow, the Ashkenazim follow the Rabbi Natam Shita, that since the Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom, that we really haven't had such a significant Mikra Megillah for a year. What we had last night, that was on a lower level of significance. What exactly does that mean? It's a little problematic. What do you mean? The Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. What kind of a lashon is that? The Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. So some suggest that the Macheshes has this, others have like this, that the Gemara says that Kriyas HaMegillah is not only a gimmick to accomplish a Pirsumi Nisa. Like Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is a gimmick. Made a takana to accomplish Pirsumi Nisa. Kriyas HaMegillah has additional kiyumim. So it has an additional kiyum. It's like Kriyas HaTorah. It's from Tanakh. Like not Kriyas HaTorah, it's like Kriyas HaTorah. Amapta. Amapta is from Novi. Once in a while, Bismarck Gemara used to have HaTorah from Ksuvim. Tosfos points out that there is a Gemara in Shabbos that says that he used to learn from Tehillim. Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, he used to have a HaTorah. The Mishnah says in Megillah, Ein Haftirim B'Novi. Shabbos afternoon, there was no HaTorah from the Novi, but they used to read the HaTorah from Ksuvim, from Tehillim. So there is a kiyum of Kriyas HaTorah, the Tzibur, Kriyas Tanakh, the Tzibur. The Gemara says there is an added kiyum in Mikra Megillah that is a form of Hallel. The Gemara on Daf Yudalad and Manala poses the question, how come we don't recite Hallel on Purim and we do recite Hallel on Chanukah? So one suggestion the Gemara gives three answers. The one suggestion the Gemara gives is that maybe Kriyas is Zu Halela. Maybe the reading of the Megillah itself constitutes an implicit fulfillment of the Hallel. We don't say anything explicitly. We don't even mention the Rabbanu Shalom's name, the whole Mikra Megillah. But it's self-understood that we're telling the story and we're giving praise and hoidoya, expressing gratitude to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's a form of Hallel. Gemara says on Dalet Amud Aleph also, when the Gemara says you have to read the Megillah Balayla, or B'Shanos HaBayom, to read it the second time in the daytime. So the Gemara says, how do you know that this is true? The Gemara has two pesukim, one pasuk says, L'man Yizamecha Chavod V'lo Yidom, Hashem Elokai Yalom Aydeka. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayom and we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balayla. So it sounds like it's a form of hallow. Ani Zamecha Chavon Hashem Elokai Yalom Aydeka. I praise you, I thank you Bayom and I thank you Balayla. So the Gemara there is also assuming that Mikra Megillah is a form of a hallow. Hallel, the din is, it can only be recited by Yom. If you say Hallel Balayla, you're not Yetze. There's a mission at the end of the second parak in Megillah that Hallel is only by Yom. Then the Gemara seems to say that Mikra Megillah is a third key of Mizlah. It's a key of Tfilah. It's a key of Tfilah. The Gemara says there on the same dot that how do you know, the next Amara says, how does he know that you have to read the Megillah by Balayla or Lashanosa by Yom to repeat it in the daytime? Because the Pasuk says, the person that he quotes. He quotes in Tehillim, chapter 5. Elokai ekra yomam v'lo sana v'layla v'lo domirli. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the daytime, and if he doesn't answer me, then I call out again a second time, and if he doesn't answer, I call out a third time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get upset. He gives us permission to bother him, to test him with our tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu v'eschanan el Hashem. So the Medrash says that he offered more than 400 tefillahs. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should let him enter Eretz Yisrael. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, that's it, no more, and I'm not going to listen to the tefillahs anyway. But the Ribbono Shel Olam permits us, normally, under normal condition, Ribbono Shel Olam allows us to daven time and time again. We say the same Shemona Esrei, we say the same thing all the time. And that's not improper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us permission. So that's what they say. Elokai ekra yomam, I call out in the daytime, v'loi sana, if you don't answer, v'layla. I'll daven again and repeat the same thing at night, and then if I don't get my answer then, and v'lo domili, I won't be quiet. I'll daven again a third time and a fourth time. Why does it say, ekra yomam v'lo sana v'layla v'lo domili? It should have said the reverse. We cry out in the night time. We read the Megillah at night time, then we repeat the Megillah by yom, because that's what the Mepharshim say. The kriyas of Megillah is by yom. So the main kriyas of Megillah is in the daytime of Purim, and then we read at night time also. You don't say we read the Megillah at night and we also read in the daytime. But Ma'ase says that's what we do. The second Kriya is Bayom. But since the Ikar Kriya is Bayom, so that's why the Pasuk has it in that order. So the Gemara quoting that Pasuk is assuming that Dava Pasha, that Kriya Samigila, is a form of Tfilah. It's a form of Halel, Haidoya L'Sha'ova. We express our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our gratitude for the past, and it's also an implicit Tfilah, Allah Haba. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, a strange din. The Mogen Avram finds it hard to understand, and then he knocks a little sense into it. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that if Mokum in Tav Reish Pei Tes, if you don't have a minion, if you don't have a minion, so if only one person knows how to read the Megillah, the others don't know, so the one who knows how to read the Megillah reads it for the others. But if you have a few people who know how to read the Megillah and you don't have a minion, so you can't have the Balkori lane to be Motzi the others who are Bikim. The Balkori can only be Motzi the Eino Baki if there's no minion. You cannot be Motzi a Baki unless there's a minion. So Magen Avraham says, why not? He's never heard of such a thing. Let's say Kiddush. Everybody knows how to say Kiddush. One person says Kiddush in Motzi the others. He says Shemei Kohen all the time. Less than a minion. You don't need a minion to enable you to say Shemei Kohen. Why do you all of a sudden Shofar? Yes, the Kasha. Shofar? One person blows Shofar for someone sick in the hospital. Even if the other person would be a Baki, he would know how to blow Shofar on his own. He still could be Motzi the others. What kind of a din is this? That you don't allow Shemei Kohen but Pachas Me'asara if the other fellow is a Baki. So the Magen Avraham suggests, and said, Tot Niyur, and Tot Reish Pei Tes, maybe this Rishon, this I think a Kolbo, Shulchan Aruch is quoting from one of the Rishonim in Ochas Chaim, okay. Kolbo is the kid to the Ochas Chaim. So the Ochas Chaim is assuming, apparently, the Mikra Megillah is like Tfilah, that the Rishalmi says, the Ran and the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Talmud Rishalmi that there are three instances. Well, we don't permit Midr Rabbanim Shemei Kohen. One is by Kriyashma. It's not right that you should rely on me for your Kabbalah on Malchus Shammai. Say your own Kriyashma yourself. Why should you listen to my reciting of Kriyashma? So, B'chadchila Midr Rabbanim, we don't permit Shemei Kohen by Kriyashma. Then by davening, by tefillah, we don't allow Shemei Kohen unless Mamish one is an Eina Baki. You have no choice. And then the third case is when it comes to eating. You're going to eat yourself. You're not going to rely on the other guy eating. You're going to eat yourself. So say your own brachas. Before and after, you should say your own brachas. And the only time we allow one person to say Hamoisi and everybody else is Yotze, the only occasion where we allow one person to recite the Birchas Hamazon, that's by Zimun. And everybody else is Yotze, but his Zimun, they just say Amen, they don't say the bracha. I, that's Shemei Kohenah. So the Mishnayis and the Gemaris and brachas and Achulim say, no, that's a different din. If you have a Chabura eating together, so that's the Ikir Adin, the Chabura is only Mechayev The Chabura is only miskayif to say one Hamaitri. And the Chabura is only miskayif to recite one Bechas Hamaitri on behalf of the whole Chabura. It's not really based on Shemer Kaina. The din of Shemer Kaina, it's not proper to apply, but the Rabbanim, it's not proper to apply Shemer Kaina to these three cases. So that's when the Magen Avraham knocks sense into this Orchas Chaim. Apparently, the Mechab is quoting the Shita that we treat Mikra Megillah like a form of Tefillah, and in Tefillah we don't allow Shemer Kaina if the fellow's a Baki, unless you have a Sora. If you have a minion, so then there's an institution of Tefillah B'Tzibur, Hazaras HaShat, so the Shat offers a Tefillah for the whole Tzibur, so then the members of the Tzibur can be Yotzi. But the Fachas Me'a Sora, but you don't have the Tefillah B'Tzibur, then we say if the one is listening is a Baki, he cannot rely on Shemer Kaina, because one is not permitted, Midi Rabbanan, to rely on Shemer Kaina on these three cases, and Megillah is like Tefillah. Megillah is considered like Tefillah. So that's what it would appear in the Gemara, that there are three additional kiyumim in Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah basically is to accomplish Pisa Minisa, to be Mefarsim in the nest, to make the Kiddush Hashem. We speak about the Yeshuas and the Chometz that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for people. But in addition to that, they instituted that it should be fulfilled in this form, in the form of Kriyas Tanakh, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, in the form of Hallel, and in the form of the Kiyum of Tefillah as well. So because Hallel is only by Yom, that's perhaps why we assume, that's perhaps why the Tesis assumes that the Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah is really by Yom, and the Kriya Balayla is less significant. Shulchan Aruch quotes, Rabbi Kedege quotes, not so much the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that the Mikra Megillah is considered Divrei Sofrim, Divrei Kabbalah, it's considered Divrei Kabbalah. We have mitzvahs that are Menatora, mitzvahs that are only Medirabbanon, and then you have Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means a Takana Derabbanon, which appears in Tanakh, so it has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos that Mikra Megillah is one of the Takanas that was instituted by the Bezen Shalmato, and the Bezen Shalmaila gave their Haskana. Rabbi Kedege quotes from the Turi Yevin that he considers Turi Yevin by the Shagazari, he considers Mikra Megillah and the Divrei Kabbalah on a higher level of a Din Derabbanon. What's the relevance that Mikra Megillah is the Divrei Kabbalah? Sofik Deraisa L'chumah Sofik Derabbanon L'kula. So what's the Din of Sofik Divrei Kabbalah? So the Shagazari assumes the Sofik Divrei Kabbalah is also L'chumah. Because the Gemara has an expression, Divrei Kabbalah Ki Divrei Torah Damyan. So Sofik L'chumah L'chumah. This is questionable. Is that really so? Where does it say in the Megillah that there's a chiyuv to read the Megillah? It says in the Megillah that you have to have shalachmanas, matanas, levyayim, and sudas pulim. Never really says explicitly that you have an obligation to read the Megillah. The Gemara understands that that's what the pasuk is talking about when it says ayamim ha'ela nizkarim v'nasim. Nizkarim means that it's spoken of. Lahazikir means to mention. It doesn't mean Hayom Ve'ele Nizkarim, I remember. It means the 2 days of Purim, Yudalad, and Tezvav Ador, are spoken about. Who speaks about them? When you read the Megillah, then you talk about the 2 days of Purim. So the Mikra Megillah is mentioned, is alluded to in the Megillah Shasta. But it doesn't really say Beloshen Tzivui. That's what the Chabina Rav has a taina against the Munkacher. The Munkacher, in his Travis of Chuvis, in Chasalozer, writes that he thinks like the Shagasari, like Rabbi Kedege, who quotes from the Turi Yevin, that Mikra Megillah is considered Divrei Kabbalah, has the stamp of the approval of the Bezen Shalmaila on it, so therefore you should say Divrei Kabbalah Ki Divrei Torah Damyan. So therefore what? The Mincha Salozin says you have to be careful to make sure that the Balkari is Bar Mitzvah. A boy and a girl become Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, they have to have Shona Nissim on it. Just because the girl is 12 or the boy is 13 doesn't necessarily mean that they can know them already. You have to have state cyrus on the Eberho Ergo. So normally we don't check to see if they have state cyrus. So many Pashtim say that this reliance, that we rely on the Rov, on the Chazaka the Rover, I think Rover is the one who says it, neither the Koshe Gira Chlal Shanim, Higila Chlal Simonim. That a girl who reached the age of 12, or a boy who reached the age of 13, we assume the likelihood is, the probability is, they probably have state cyrus. The Gemara says that you don't rely on that chazaka the rabbi with respect to performing chalitza, or with respect, let's say, to writing a get. That this little kid should be the cipher to write a get, we would not rely on the chazaka the rabbi. Or the kid, his brother, he has an older brother who is married and who passed away and he lives in Almana, and the younger brother has to do chalitza, so the din is he can't do chalitza before bar mitzvah. Pasuk uses the expression, ish, kachi yasalish, ashevi yivnet beis achiv. So each prat with cotton and cotton cannot do chalitza. You have to wait till he's bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says in Nidah, it's not sufficient that he reaches the age of 13. You have to check to make sure that he has shtei tzaris. There's a question in Achrenim on Shulchan Aruch, why do we single out writing a get and performing chalitza that then you have to check the shtei tzaris? Is it because of chumah d'arayis? Is it because you have involved over here an inyan of chumah d'eishes tish? Or is it not specifically because of arayis? Maybe it's because all dinim d'arayis you need b'dikas. So many achrenim, it says here in the Magen Avraham. So many achrenim assume that with respect to all dinim d'arayis you have to have b'dikas simonim. Make sure that the person has the shtei tzaris. So that's what the Minchas Salos writes regarding Mikra Megillah. He says even though Megillah is clearly not min ha'tarei talmid d'rabbanan, but the Shagasari says that it's considered a Divi Kabbalah. And Divi Kabbalah is Divi Teradami. That's why the Turi Evans said that Suffolk, a person is in doubt whether he heard every word of the Megillah. He has a Suffolk, whether he was Yotzei. So we say Suffolk, Divi Kabbalah, you have to go to Chumrah. So the Minchas Salos says the same is true regarding being braided for the shtei tzaris. Since Mikra Megillah is a Divi Kabbalah, so you have to make sure that the kid is bar mitzvah, if he's going to be moitzi as a rabbi midei chaybos. So the Shabina Rav is not happy about that. He thinks that it's not correct. He's masig, in effect, he's masig on Rebbe Kivega b'shem Aturi Yevon also, but he doesn't want to be so chutzpahdik, so he only picks on the Minchas Halozah. Makes believe as if the only one who said it was the Minchas Halozah, and he disagrees. They quote the Rashi in the end of Tainus. I think we assume historically Rashi on Tainus is by somebody else. It's not really written by Rashi, but it doesn't make that much of a difference because Rashi is interpreting in the Gemara. So Rashi points out that a din only is elevated to the status of Divi Kabbalah if it says in Tanah, Beloshen Tzivu, you have to do this. Like Mishloch Manas Ish L'Rei, Matonis L'Avyayinim, Aso Arsa, Mimei Mishnah V'Simcha. It says you have to make the 2 days of Purim, Mimei Mishnah V'Simcha, Shalach Mas Matonis L'Avyayinim. Mikra Megillah is mentioned, but it doesn't say Beloshen Tzivu. It says Hayamim Weilin, Niz Karim, Din Asim, that these days are spoken of. Because we read the Megillah, but it doesn't say Beloshen Tzivu that you have to read the Megillah. It's mentioned Beloshen Tzivu Amaisa. So the Chabina Rav in his Chubis, the Dovid Meisharim, quotes in this Rashi and Tainus that whenever something is just referred to in Tanakh, but it's not written Beloshen Tzivu, then it doesn't have the Chaim HaDin like a Divi Kabbal. So you think that you don't have to go check for this day Tanakh. Even ink is this one, this is by us. I don't know what it means. The Rishonim all quote from the Halachas Gedolus and had a Chiddush that even though the Gemara says men and women are both obligated to him, he can give it despite the fact that it's the mitzvah Tasei Shaz Magrama, we should have said that the women are exempt, so nonetheless, we say Hakol Chayavim Mikra Megillah, even women are obligated. So the Baha came up with a Chiddush Niflo that the Chiyuv of the women is slightly on a lower level than the Chiyuv of the men, and vis-a-vis a man, the woman is not considered Mechuyiv B'Dovish, she cannot be Motzi Yotzeravim Midei Chayvotzam. So a woman cannot read the Megillah in order to be Motzi men. This is his Chiddush. The Pashuk Pshat Megillah is not so, but Tosfos says, look, the Baha is a Tosefta, Tosfos quotes a Tosefta, where it says that an androgynous, since the Suffolk is not a Suffolk the Kaver, cannot read the Megillah to be Moitzi the men. So obviously the premise of the Tosefta is that a woman cannot be Moitzi the men. Virag Rosh says like that also. He says, you can't argue with the Baha'i, because that's what it says in the Tosefta, Tosefta's quotes. That's all Tosefta's quotes. Then the Zomigoyen quotes, and that's what it says in the Zohar Chodosh also. Okay. Tosefta never quotes any Zohar. That's what it says in the Zohar. So what exactly does that mean? That the Chiva of the women is slightly lower level than the Chiva of the men? So the Ramah quotes from this Zohar, he quotes from the Balei HaTosis, that the men have a chi of Mikra Megillah and the women only have a chi of Shmiyah. And in fact, the Ramah even says that if you have a Megillah reading that's only for women, in a lot of communities, they read the Megillah, the second Kriyas HaMegillah is mainly for the women. All the men went for the first Kriyas HaMegillah, and some of the women have little children, so they had a babysit. And then after the men come home, so they organize another Mikra Megillah for the women. So if the second Kriyas HaMegillah is only for women, then the Ramah says, based on the Zohar, based on the Rishonim, that you shouldn't say Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvah Sevet Zivonu al Mikra Megillah. You should say Lushmo al Mikra Megillah. Because the Chiv of the women is only a Chiv of Shmiya, and it's not a Chiv of Kriya.
Can I get you up to the Arbracha
and Kriya, David and Kriya? Basically. Basically, it boils down to the same thing for the Eved. If they would say al Mikra Megillah, they would also be Yotzei. But if it's only for women, then we touch it up a little bit and we correct the nusach. If, let's say, the Baal Kori already was Yotzei and Shulman, is only reading for the women, or is he reading for men, whatever, let's say he's reading for a group of men in the hospital, whatever the case happens to be. So if one of the people who's listening has to be Yotzei, knows how to say the brachas themselves, they should have one of those people. Why should the Baal Kori say, he already said all that, he already was Yotzei Mikra Megillah? Why should you rely on Yotzei Mikra unnecessarily? So let one of the people who wants to be Yotzei now say all the three brachas before, and then the Baal Kori will lay for them. If none of the people who want to be able to know how to say the brachas, they're afraid that they're going to make a mistake, so then the Baal Kori is permitted to say the brachas on their behalf as well. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak, so the Gemara says that one of the Chachamim said Kiddush, and then when some of the guests came late, they had just missed Kiddush, and they didn't know how to say Kiddush on their own. They didn't have any written Sidurim. In the days of the Gemara, it was prohibited to write down a Sidur, because the text of the Tefillah was considered part of Torah Shabbat there. And it was forbidden to write down the Torah Shabbat Peh, so that most of the people didn't know how to say Kiddush and Avdolah and so on. So the Talmud Chacham, who had already recited Kiddush, said Kiddush in second part. It's based on the principle of Yotzei Moitzi. So that halacha of Yotzei Moitzi only applies when you really need it. Based on Kol Yisrael Areinu Zedizeh, I have an obligation to help you. I only have an obligation to help you if you need some help. If you don't need any help, so why should I have an obligation to help you? Because in this way, you give tzedakah to the multimillionaire. If they don't need any charities, I don't have an obligation to help them. If the guy knows how to say his own Kiddush, why should he say, I should say Kiddush for him? I don't have to say Kiddush for him. Let him say his own Kiddush. So the same over here. If one of the listeners knows how to say the brachas on his own, so let him say his own brachas. If you're afraid they'll make a mistake, so then the Baal Kori who's reading can say the brachas as well. The Rambam writes that the Mishnah writes that the bracha that's recited at the conclusion of the Mikra Megillah, Harav Shibeinu, Adonis Neinu, etc., is only dependent on the Mokhm Shenagu. The Mishnah says it's not a chayva. The Gemara says the brachas that are recited, Oyvel Asi Yosam, before you start reading the Megillah, that's a chovo. That does not depend on the Minhag Mokhm. But to recite the bracha, Harav Shibeinu, after the conclusion of the Mikra Megillah, so that depends on the Minhag Mokhm. By us, the Minhag is that we do say. Our Minhag is that we do say. So then the Rambam quotes, and Levarach Achreha a little bit Sibur, Tad Tzadik Beis, if Allah, I'm going to quote this from the Kolbo in the name of the Yerushalmi, that the Bracha Rabbis Yerben is only recited if you had Mikra Megillah Ba'asor. What constitutes Mikra Megillah Ba'asor? And so the Ramah quotes, and there's a question whether women are mitzarfim to the Asor. What if you have 5 men and 5 women? And what if you have 10 women? Would that be considered austerity? Say, as long as you have 10 people for the Pesumi Nisa story, but he say, no, you have to have 10 men. So because of the Machloikas, so we go to Chumr. So we would not recite Harabas Rivein unless you have 10 men. That's what Tesis writes. Tesis and Brochus writes. The Gemara has a lashon that if you have 3 women, they're permitted to bench Mezumin together. But if you have 10 women, they cannot say Mezumin B'Shem. Gemara says, why? Because women are never add up together to constitute a whole Chalashem Tzibur. The bench Mezumin B'Shloisha, that's a different word. If you have 3 people, even though they don't constitute a Shem Rabbi, but in order to bench Baal Sorah, Bichas HaMazim B'Shem, so then you have to have a Shem Tzibur. So even 10 women together is not considered a Shem Tzibur. So Tosis there, the Baal Yatosis quote, by us that line is missing in Tosis. But you have the Tosis Rabbi Yehuda Silvion and the Tosis Harash. So they add on that line from the Baal Yatosis that on Purim, when you want to have a minion, the Gemara says, L'chatchili, you should do Mikra Megillah Baal Sorah. And if you can, so the din is that on Purim, if it's Kriyas HaMegillah Bismano, if it's on Purim, then you hear it's even without Asar. But L'Hatchila, the Gemara says, is proper to have Asar. So that L'Hatchila, proper to have Asar, that means 10 men. If you have 10 women, so Tosis writes in Brochus that that doesn't count. That's not considered. So the same over here, the Pashto says, in order to be able to recite the Brocha, Rabbis Yevenu, Ramah says, the minute we only say B'tzibur. And Ramah says, we don't consider 10 women, or 5 and 5, we don't consider it B'tzibur. So they should not say Harav is revenge. The Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agro picks a little bit on that Ramah, that the Ramah says you don't say the Bracha Harav is revenge, the Yochi, you only say the Tzibur. He says if you look in the Yerushalmi, the way we have the Girsa, he says the Kolba must have had a different Girsa. Ubenusko Shalonim Bishubash, he says our edition is something faulty in the Yerushalmi, and he says the Gamke Mashman Shalom, he says the way we have the Yerushalmi, it would appear that statement in Yerushalmi that you only recite the Bracha Shabbat Achreya B'Tzibur goes on Bichas HaTorah. Doesn't go on Bichas HaMegillah. It means when a person wakes up in the morning and he's going to start thinking and learning, he's going to start talking and learning, he has to say Bichas HaTorah right away. You're not allowed to learn or think and learning before you say Bichas HaTorah. But when he goes to sleep at the end of the day, he doesn't say Bracha Hashem Nasalon HaTorah Semzi. He doesn't say Bracha Shavachera. He only says Bracha Shavachera when you get an Aliyah by Kriyas HaTorah. But by Talmud Torah the Yochid, there is no Bracha Shavachera. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. In Talmud Torah, there is no Bracha Shavachera. But in Mikra Megillah, Talmud Torah, there is no Bracha Shavachera by Talmud Torah B'Yochid. But in Mikra Megillah, once you get to the end of Megillah, you're finished. There is a Dovah Mistuyah. But then you do say that. So the only line is Ma'ir. The Pashtus and Yerushalmi would appear that it's not talking about Mikra Megillah. But Lamaisa, the Minig is like the Ramoda. We only recite the Bracha Rabbi Sirvenu when it's Bitsibur. We assume that it's only considered Bitsibur if you have Asara Anoshim. If you have five and five, if you have Esther Anoshim, you have 10 women, we don't consider that Mikra Megillah Basar. Mora gives the rationale. Why did the Chachamim introduce a chiv on the women to hear Mikra Megillah despite the fact that it's in Zman Groma? Because Mora says, Achen Hai Biosanes. That the women were involved in the Sakona and the Yeshua affected them as well. So that's why this is an exception to the rule. So as they quote in the name of Elvala, that you can interpret the Gemara in different ways. What does that mean, Achen Hai Biosanes? You could say that that's the reason why they made a special takana, notwithstanding the fact that it really is a mitzvah sesa shazman grama. It's an exception to the rule. Okay, you have exceptions to the rule. You have a lot of exceptions to the rule. Or you could say a little differently. Since Afin Havi Osana, since the women were involved in the sakana and in the Yeshua as well, so there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to give thanks and express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshua's Menachamas that he gives us. You have to be Makat Toivah. So that obligation to be Makat Toivah, to make a public declaration of expression of gratitude, the mitzvah to make a Kiddush Hashem, that's not a Zman Groma. So despite the fact that this particular form of Hoidoya, this particular form, namely Abikra Megillah, is a Zman Groma. You can only enter the Megillah on Purim. All year long, there's no Takon of Mikra Megillah. But still, since the Mikra Megillah is a key of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of Hoidoya, expressing gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the basic mitzvah is a lot of Zman Groma, so perhaps women are mechuyev, maybe it's not called a Zman Groma. Not that pshat, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma, we are imposing a chiyuv on the women nonetheless. It's a yotzei min haklal. Maybe it means that it's not a yotzei min haklal. Maybe since this is only an aspect, this is only one form of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of expressing shevach v'hoidoyah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hoidoyah, gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the mitzvah of hoidoyah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot of Zman Groma. Maybe the women are mechuyev medina. What's the difference when they say like this and they say like that? So Abdullah will suggest that perhaps that's the issue that's disputed in the Rishonim brought about Avodim she'enam mishuchrorim. What's the din of Avodim she'enam mishuchrorim? Because the looks like it's a machlek, it's the Torah and the Ram. Ram says Avodim Mishukhrarim, and the Torah seems to be Avodim Shehim Mishukhrarim also Mechuyim. So what's the machlek is? And Eved is not Chai, the Mitzvah says the Shazman Groma. Just like a woman is not Chai, Eved is not Chai. So the Shaila is that the Gemara means to say that this is not called as Zman Groma, because since it's an aspect of the Mitzvah of Hoidoya, of Kiddush Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem is not as Zman Groma, so even this aspect is also not called as Zman Groma, then Avodim would be Mechuyim. But if you say not, so if you say that basically Megillah is a Zman Groma. But as far as women are concerned, they made a special takana, so then there's room to argue the point and say the special takana is only instituted because of women, because the women were also involved in the takana and they experienced the Yeshua. But Avodim, maybe they never had any Avodim Tznayim at that time. When they were in the Medina of Ahasuerus, maybe they didn't. Maybe they were Avodim Tznayim, but they weren't involved in the Gzera L'Hashman L'Hargali Abed. So therefore there's room, if you say that the Chi of Noshim and Mikra Megillah is a Yotzei Min HaKlal, then there's room to say like the Rambam, that they only made a Takana, that it should be Yotzei HaKlal, because there'd be women. Perhaps they never made a Takana, not about him tonight. But if you say that it's not at all a Yotzei Min HaKlal, this reasoning, this rationale that the Gemara gives, is an explanation as to why it's considered the Mitzvah Saseh. Shalei Azman Groma, then about him Sheinim Shukran will also be just as obligated. More in the second parak in Megillah, writes a Chiddush Din regarding Mikra Megillah, which does not apply by Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says if you have a Megillah, it has pavers as words are osios, or letters that are metushtoshes, that are rubbed out, as long as it's suva ruba, as long as rov of the Megillah is written, it's okay and you can read the Megillah. So at the end of this Gemara, and the Sefer Torah is not so. The Sefer Torah, we assume, Sefer Torah shechasa reisachas, it's psuva. Sefer Torah is missing one ois, it's already possible. Not all the Mishanim agreed to that statement. Sefer Torah never says that in the Gemara, that says in the Zohar. The Ramban and the Hatam, the Chumash quotes it from Kabbalah sources. And the Goinim write like that, the Rambam writes like that, from Kabbalah sources and from the Chumash Agarim. And the Gemara says, Sefer Torah shechasa yiriya achas, in Korn, but it's missing a whole yiriya. A whole yiriya is from one stitch to the other stitch. That's a 3, 4, 5, 6 amudim. Quite a few columns. Obviously, if it's missing Parshas Tetzaveh, if that's the yiriya that's missing, obviously you can't blame, we're talking, no, it's missing Vizayis HaBracha. Missing the last yiriya. They stitched everything up together, and the Sefer didn't have a chance to stitch the last yiriya onto the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is chasi yiriya achas. And this is not Shabbos, the Zayis HaBracha, this is Parshas Tetzaveh today. So the din is that you still, Sefer Torah shechasi yiriya achas, then karm, but you can't lay. So Tosfos Shita is, that's how the Ritzvah, the Chulis writes. The Tosfos Shita is, you take the Gemara literally, only Sefer Torah shechasi yiriya achas. But if it's only chasi yiriya achas, anything less than the yiriya, so then you may lay kriyas HaTorah B'tzimah. But we don't accept that opinion of the Balei HaTosfos L'chatchila, for sure not. But the other, we rely on it, that you don't have to repeat. If you're laying from the Pasul of Sefer Torah, you don't have to repeat the Kriyas HaTorah again. But L'chatchila, for sure, we don't rely on that. We insist on laying Kriyas HaTorah from a kosher of Sefer Torah. So if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing Reis Achas, it's already no good. Pasul. And the Megillah, as long as it's missing less than 50%, the Megillah will be kosher. That's a question. How do you draw the line to distinguish between... You can't say the Megillah by heart. You have to read the Megillah from the text. So we assume that even though it only has 51% of the Megillah, it's missing 49%, that is called the kosher of the Megillah. You say Megillah to Kula. Then Chiddush number two, what if I have a kosher Megillah, but I has every single letter there, but I recited Baal Peh. I just look in and I see, oh, yeah, and I say, I can say a whole column by Baal Peh. And then after 20 lines, and then look at it again to see what the next few words are, then I say the rest Baal Peh. So it doesn't help that part of it is being recited from a text. You have to recite the whole Megillah from Mitoch HaKsav. So how can you, over here, if you have a Megillah that's missing 49%, only has 51%, I'd group the Megillah has Kedushas Torah Shebuchsav, it's considered a Chetz of a Megillah, but the Kriya is being done Baal Peh. So the answer is that Ruba Kukula, if Rav of the Kriya is done Mitoch HaKsav, so we consider the whole Kriya, based on the principle of Ruba Kukula, we consider that the whole Kriya is being done Mitoch HaKsav. It's really a double Chiddush. The Ruba Kukula applies in the Chetz of the Megillah, that it constitutes a Kosher Megillah, and secondly, the Ruba Kukula applies regarding the Kriya of the Megillah, that it constitutes a Kriya Mitoch HaKsav, even though the miyut of the Kriya is being done Baal Peh, you say Ruba Kukula, it labels the entire Kriya as if it were done Mitoch HaKsav. The Gemara has a Megillah, the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim. How much of the Megillah are you obligated to read in order to fulfill a mitzvah? Let's say you have a Sefer Torah. So this week we're not going to learn from the whole Sefer Torah, we're just going to learn Parshas Tetzaveh. We're going to put back the Sefer Torah. So you have to have, the Gemara says, Tzvicha should take Suva Kula. You have to have the whole Megillah should be written in its entirety. But how much of the Megillah says that you have to read? So we happen to paskin like the Tana who says, Kula. You have to read the whole Megillah says from the beginning to the end. If you miss one word or one syllable, so you're not good, so you have to hear over again. But there are other opinions in Tana, and they say, no, it's like a Sefer Torah. You have to have a whole Sefer Torah. But you have to lay every week from the whole Sefer Torah. Each week you lay a little bit. But the Gemara has different opinions. One Tana says you have to start learning from Ishi Hudi Hoye Beshushan Abir. One says you have to learn from Balayla Hud Narada Shnas HaMelech. The other Tana has a third sheet, and we passed in the fourth opinion that you have to learn Kula from the beginning to the end. So there the Rishonim ask Akasha, why does the Gemara say, even if you hold, you only have to learn from Balayla Hud, or you have to learn from Ishi Hudi Hoye Beshushan Abir, but this they all agree, Tzvicha should take Super Kula. You require the entire Megillah should be written. No good if your Megillah only begins from Ishi Hudi Hoye Beshushan Abir. So he asked Kakasha, why is it no good? It's Ksuva Rubo. If Rubo of the Megillah is written, and only a miut is missing, so he just said that that's acceptable, that's kosher. And if you don't have to lay that part, so what's wrong? The Megillah is kosher, it's Ksuva Rubo. And you're laying, from Ishihu Lihoi Peshushan Abdira. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the two answers of the Rashba. Rashba says, one answer, if it's missing Inyan Sholem, it's possible. So if all you're going to have is going to be written from Ishi Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Abira, just missing an Inyan Sholem about the party that they had and about bumping off Vashti, it's missing a whole Inyan Sholem. Or another suggestion the Rashba gives is, maybe if it's missing Tchilosei, it's no good. Just like that. In order to answer the Kasha, you got stuck. So he comes up with a new wine fast. He has to make it a little more palatable. So he says, maybe if it's missing Chiloso or Sofo, beginning of the year. Can't just say Chiloso? Achok. That's exactly the Kasha. What's wrong with missing Chiloso? So he says, maybe that's the din. If the beginning of the end is there, and the middle is missing a little bit, so as long as Rubo is there, but Mamish, the beginning of the end is missing, maybe that passes. So the both answers are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If you're missing Inyan Sholem and the Megillah, it's possible. And if you're missing Chiloso or Sofo, it's also possible. So now the Mishnah Brura quotes a Machlokes Acharonim. What if the Megillah is not missing Chiloso? I came in late. I came in 2 minutes late to make the Megillah. And I don't want to go to a later minyan. I want to hear the Megillah this minyan, but I can't be yotzei. Because I missed the bracha, and I missed the first pasuk. So let's say I'll say quickly the brachas, the three brachas before making Megillah, and I have a printed chumash. If I walk over to the Megillah that Bakar is using, and I'll start reading, I'll say all the brachas, I'll start reading from the beginning of Megillah till I catch up with where the Bakar is. Fine, that solves all the problems. Then from that, you can hear the Megillah, half of the Megillah, I'll say half of the Megillah the Bakar says, that's okay. Well, let's say I only have a printed chumash. So I'll say quickly the three brachas on the Megillah, then I'll start saying the first couple of psukim from the printed chumash. That's going to be way less than 50%. More than 50% I'm going to be hearing from the Balkore is reading from the Kosher Club. And a miut, less than 50%, I'll be learning from the Chumash, which is a puzzle of Megillah. So the Mishnah Brura has a Machlokes Acharonim, is that acceptable or not? Because the Rashba said on the Gemara, if you're missing Chiloso or Sofo, it's no good. See, he's missing Chiloso. The Haskol of the Megillah, he said Balpeh. Said from a printed chumash, that's the equivalent of Baal Peh. So the pashtus is like the other day in the Rashba, the other day in the Mishnah Brura, that this chisaron that the Rashba said that if it's missing chiloso or sofa is no good. That's only on the chepta of the Megillah. If the chepta of the Megillah is missing chiloso or sofa, so then you don't say Ruba Kikula that it's a kosher Megillah. It's missing the beginning. It's missing the end. Doesn't have a shame Megillah. It's missing in the middle. As long as you have 51%, it's good. But if the whole text of the Megillah is fine, the Balkar is learning from a perfect Megillah. The only thing is that I only heard 51% from him, and 49% I said on my own, and that part of that 49% happens to be from a fossil sefer. I read from a printed chumash. So even if it's chiloso, why should you say that you're not yotzei? The pashtus is that the distinction that the Rashba made between chiloso as opposed to emtzei isoy only goes on the word. Ruba Tukula on the chetz of the Megillah. So if the chetz of the text of the Megillah is missing the Haskola, then you don't give a hechsha to the chetz. But if the chetz that is 95 is a good chetz of the Megillah, has everything written. The only thing is, I missed the first three psukim, so the pashtus is like the other achrayin in my book. Anyway, years ago in Yeshiva, it was a big machloikis, and I still think that this is the correct thing. It happens every year. There's always someone that comes in 1 minute late. He wants to know where they can do that eitzah. To say quickly, the eitzah, the best eitzah is, say the three brachas, walk over to the balkoria after someone has a kasha megillah, and start reading for them a kasha megillah. But the question is if he doesn't have enough seichel to do that. And he says the three brachas, and he starts reading the beginning of the megillah from a printed chumash, so does that have the same chisaron as chiloso that the Rashba said is not good? The Mishnah Brura quotes him off like this, the Gemara says in Masechus Megillah that there are a couple of words in the Megillah that we don't even know what they are. Horachash Teran and Bnei Haramachim. We don't know what the words mean. There are a lot of people, Amei Haaretz, don't know what anything means in the Megillah. So the Chuvas Aran raised the question. The Beis Yosef quotes this Chuvas Aran. Shall Chuvas Aran? It's available. Good. So the Chuvas Aran poses the question: Why do we rely on the Mikra Megillah? Haloi Shoshama Shiris Yotza. The fellow doesn't know Hebrew. So the Mishnah says he's Yotza B'Yavad, even though he doesn't understand anything. Why don't we get a good art scroll to make a translation of the Megillah? And the Mishnah says you Yotza Mikra Megillah in translation, if it's written in translation, if it's written in the cloth in translation. So why don't we do that? We'll get more people who will understand the Megillah. So the Ran first gives a Musar of art, and then he gives you a suggestion of halacha. He says, well, he could have done this suggestion in the days of the Gemara also. The Gemara says all the Yamei Haaretz don't understand anything in the Mikra Megillah. They don't know Hebrew. So he could have translated it into Aramaic, his Mana Talmud, in the days of the Rishonim, earlier. He could have done it many years ago. So how come they never did it? So that we should rely on the Minig. The Minig has it, a very old Minig, centuries old. Even though we think that it doesn't make any sense, we should always follow them and hug them, even if we think they don't make any sense. The Stoma, there's a good reason for it. That's pretty right, that even if you think, if you have an ancient minig and you think that it doesn't make any sense, you better check 100 times over. Maybe it does make sense. But you better stick to the minig. So then, why does the Taka make sense? How can you explain it? So the Ran makes a suggestion. He says maybe only Yotze Mikra Megillah in translation if the whole thing is in the same language. But if it's translated into two different languages, half of the Megillah is going to be in one language, half of the Megillah is going to be in the other language, then you're not Yotze. Why not? He doesn't explain it, but this is the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid and the Hilchos Gerishin. Two Girsas in a Tosefta. It's not an original Machlokes Rambam and the Ravid. It's just a question of what the correct reading is in the Tosefta. There is a Tosefta that takes a stand on this following topic. If a man gives his wife a get, Biksav, has to be Biksav. And it switches languages in the middle. The get starts off to be written in Hebrew and then they switch to English. Or it starts off in English and then it switches to French in the middle. And whoever understands both languages understands the whole thing from the beginning to the end. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Is that considered a hemshech? Is there a continuation? Is there a flow when you're going from one language to the other? So the Rambam holds no good. There's no hemshech from one language to the other. And the Ravid says, why not? He says that's a faulty girsa that the Rambam had in the Tosefta. In his Tosefta, it says that you are Yotze. It is good. So generally, when it comes to davening, let's say a person is davening Shmonesi, davens in Hebrew, then he wants to offer personal bakosha. So he doesn't know how to speak Hebrew so well. So he adds a personal bakosha in Yiddish, or in English, whatever language he finds easier to speak. So we are makel, like the Ravid, we say, look, davening is only with the Rabbanim. So we say there is a flow, there is a hemshech. You can jump from one language to the other. You can go from Hebrew to English and go back to Hebrew. You can switch in the middle. But when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we treat Mikra Megillah as a more serious issue, like the Rebbe Kivega quoted to Rei Evin by the Shagas Aryeh, who considers Mikra Megillah Dibbe Kabbalah to Dibbe Terdamah, the Machmer, like Andinim Deraisen. So maybe just like by a get, Lamaisa by a get, we are Machmer. Because let's say whenever a couple is getting divorced, so we have a text of a get that we always use. But when it comes to the names of the husband and the wife, sometimes they have complicated names. They're very complicated to write them in transliteration in Hebrew characters. Why don't you just write the names in English? So the answer is that we're Machmer like the Rambam. That in a get, that there's no hemshech, not only from one language to the other, from one script to the other also not. Even if it's all in the same language, there's neither a hemshah from one language to the other, nor is there a hemshah from one script to the other. If the whole get is written in Hebrew letters, and then you're going to have the names of the husband and the wife and the fathers, it's going to be written in English letters. So we assume that there's no hemshah. The Ramah raises an issue in Hilchos Gittin, but we're always makel. The get itself is written half in Hebrew, half in Aramaic. The Hebrew and Aramaic are two different languages. So don't you see that you're makel? On the get, so the Ramah says, no, that's a third language, Rabbinic Hebrew. There's a language, Aramaic, then there's a second language, Hebrew, then there's a third language, Yeshivish language. That's Rabbinic Hebrew, that's a different language, B'shnei Atzma. So the get is written in Rabbinic Hebrew. Rabbinic Hebrew is like Yiddish, is a language B'shnei Atzma. Yiddish is a combination of Hebrew words and German words and Russian words. And you say, if you write a get in Yiddish, that wouldn't pose a problem. A get is Nichta B'shtevishanis. Yiddish is a Safa B'fnei Atzma. That's a language unto itself. So that's what the Ran suggests over here. The Ran says, the Megillah itself, even though you have these words, Vachashteron and B'nei HaRamochim, which are not Hebrew words, but that's the way the Megillah was written originally, so you say when you read the Megillah. If you want to write the Megillah in translation, so those words we don't know how to translate. We can't translate those. So we've got to translate the rest of the Megillah and leave those words in the original Persian. So he says, maybe that's no good. Iran is Ma'ir Ashar, maybe it's no good. Like the Rambam says by Get and by Rambachma by the Get, we don't allow a combination of two different languages. So by the Megillah also, we're going to translate the whole Megillah into English. We're going to leave Achashtaranim, B'nei HaRamachim, in the original Persian. So it's going to be B'shtei V'shani, so you wouldn't be Yetzir. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This whole Ran, Shuvas Aran, the B'shtei quotes it here. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes all of that. When you have a Megillah that's written in, let's say you do have a Megillah written in translation. That's what it says in the Mishnah, that the Koramosa Lalawazos Balaz. The Gemara says you can read for the Giftim, you can read the Giftis. And Yivonis, you can read for the Yivonim, and so on. So, what script will the Megillah be written in? If it's written in English, it's going to be written in English script. And if it's written in Greek, it's going to be written in Greek script. And written in Arabic, is it going to be written in Arabic script or not? So the Ramah writes, and Vachish Basic sucks, so it doesn't make a difference what script, whatever language it is, so you write it in that script. And the Zohar Gaon says, how can you sing that? It's against it off in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Beferish, Rabbi Kibbeh quotes also. All the Achayim has, the Mishnah says Beferish, you only yaitz in Mikra Megillah, Tzuva Ashuris, Ala Sefer Bidyo. Ashuris means it has to be in the script of Tzav Ashuris. Then when it says in the Mishnah, Karmos of the laws of the laws, means it's a transliteration of the laws. But you may want to have a Megillah written in English, and it came to pass in the days of Rimei Achashverosh, days of Achashverosh. So you're not going to write A and D, and it, I T, came to pass. No, you have to write Aleph Nun Dud, Aleph Nun Dalet, and it, Aleph Yud Test, came, Kuf Yud Yud Mem, whatever, Kuf Yud Mem. You have to write a transliteration of that. That's what the Vilna Gaon and all Achrayim disagree with the Ramah, because the Mishnah says the Megillah says that has to be written Ashuris. I mean, the Tofes is not Miyake.
Right, so the
Torah
is in one and the Tofes is in the other, and the Torah is in the one that matters.
Probably would be okay if the whole Torah is in one language, so you just ignore the Torah. But if the Torah,
it's not good, it's all
the Torah.
The Torah,
yeah. The part that's Ma'ake, part of it is in one language, part is in another language, then it's not good.
Okay.
But if the fudge, if the extra part, the Tofes, is really unnecessary, the SSAs we put in a Torah, but it's not Ma'ake, so that's that probably would not bother us, I don't think. The Mishnah says, Haloi Shashom Ashuris Yotzo. If a person doesn't understand Hebrew and he hears the Megillah read in Hebrew, he is Yotzo. So this gave way to a Machlegis Rashi and Tosis and Brachas in the beginning of Shlosha Shochlu. Does this mean to say, how are we all in fulfillment of Mikra Megillah? Usually we assume it's based on Shemei Kainah. The Balkor lends the Megillah, and all of the people in Shul pay attention. So they're all Yotzo with Shemei Kainah. The Rashi says, you see from that Gemara that Shemei Kainah applies even though the person doesn't understand the words. He doesn't understand the language that the other person is saying it in. So that's why Rashi holds la'alocha. Let's say someone says Kiddush, and all the people say Amen. They know, generally speaking, what the Kiddush says. They know that the Kiddush is supposed to express the sanctity of Shabbos, and we express our gratitude to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, beginning of Shabbos as a holy day. And there's an Issam Alocha. But he doesn't know what the words mean. He just knows the general idea. He doesn't know what the Pirush Amilus is. So Rashi says, you don't have to know to understand the language. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says it's not called Shemaya unless you both hear it and you Shemaya, you understand it. If you don't understand what the words mean, then it's not called Shemaya. Aye, but it says, Yotze the Mikra Megillah, Haloi Shasham Ashur is Yotze. So Tosfos says that's an exception to the rule. The rule is that it's not, that it shouldn't be called Shemaya Koina. The Gemara says, since it's only an Indian of Pesumi Nisa, so Yotze, despite the fact that it doesn't qualify to say Shemaya Koina. It's not Shemei Koyin and you're still Yotze. And Rashi says, there is no such thing. What do you mean? As long as you accomplish Pesumi Nisa? No, but you have to do Pesumi Nisa by Mikra Megillah. If you're not reading, you have to rely on Shemei Koyin. So this is based on Shemei Koyin. Tosfos set this unclear, what Tosfos is driving at. They say, Mikra Megillah, you're Yotze, even though you don't understand. And Gemara Megillah said, that's a different reason why. Pesumi Nisa. Pesumi Nisa is good. But in a normal case, but there's no Pesumi Nisa, you're interested in Shemei Koyin, then it would be no good. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we're, and the Shulchan Aruch would appear, Mishnah Berurah points it out, that we're machmer for the Shittas HaTosfos. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says that in Europe there used to be a lot of women who didn't understand the Hebrew. So when the husband said Kiddush on Friday night, they knew generally what the idea of the Kiddush is, but they didn't know what the words meant. So the Mishnah Berurah says, we are machma by places that you don't apply Shemir Kainer unless the person understands the language. How the women get to the Kiddush? So he says they would say along with the husband word for word, softly. They would mutter under their breath the words of the Kiddush. The husband says, Baruch Yad Lofen. So that's not really part, that they know what it means. Baruch Yad Lofen. Some of them know what that means. But then when they start saying, Hashem Kedushanu, Baruch Atah Hashem, again, Baruch Yad Lofen, that they know. Then the husband starts saying, Hashem Kedushanu, B'mitzvah Yisav, that they know. Kedushanu, B'mitzvah Yisav, Kedushan, Mitzvah, then the Ratzavanu, that's already hard. In Chaltanu, in Chibanu, those are hard words already. To know what those words mean. So the meaning, the Mishnah Berurah started a whole trend that the women should say under their breath the words in the middle of the Kiddush, and then when it comes Baruch Atah Hashem Kadesh HaShabbos, that they don't have to say that, they can be answered with the husband. That part they already do know. Baruch Atah Hashem Kadesh HaShabbos, those words they do know. But the middle words, very often women wouldn't know, so the Mishnah Berurah recommended they should say along with the husband. Ramor, towards the end of Tofresh Tzadik and Sif Yud Zayin, quotes an old minhag from the days of the Gaonim, that the four psukim shall gul, everybody says along with the Balkari. The Hainu, which are the four psukim of gul, Ish Yehudi Hoi B'shushan Abira, Mart Choyatzim Lefnei Amel, for Vush Tchelis Vachur, La Yehudim Hoi Sarev Sim Tavasasin, Ki Mordechai, Ha Yehudi, etc., the concluding posting. The Chain Nogim in Medina say, the minhag is that they say these four psukim. The Gaonim write that this is not a minhag that's miyuchat from Mikra Megillah. This is part of the all-year-long minig. We today, when we had the Kriya Saturn, we're going to have by Mincha, we're going to say along with the Balkore, Hashem Hashem Kalrach Macham Nerach Hapayim Rav Chesed V'Emes, we're going to say along some of the Pesukim. So this was the minig that was all-year-long, that the Tzibu would say along Pesukim of Kapor, of Slicha, Mechila, Yeshua, Benachama, and so on, Brache, they would say along with the Balkore. By us, we don't have this all year long. We just have it on a tiny seedbur and on Purim. So we think that it's a new minig, only a Mikra Megillah. It's not really a Mikra Megillah. It was part of a larger minig. They say along Sukkim of Yeshua Nechama with the Balkari. The Mishnah Berurah raises an issue if you'll divide the Mikra Megillah among two different people. Or in some communities they have 10 boys, 9 boys, and each one reads another chapter. I mean, there are 9 chapters in the Megillah Esther. So if you have 9 boys and each one reads one perek, Ayayayitze with Shemer Koine. The first chapter we heard Shemer Koine from one Balkari, the second chapter you have Shemer Koine from a different Balkari. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there's a machlokes achronim about this. Some achronim hold that even with the Evid, you're not Yaitze, you got to lean over the whole Megillah. The pashtus is that that's very difficult. The pashtus is that those achronim are talking about not being yoytze. The pashtus, they're talking about the brachas. You know, get to the brachas. How does the Balkari have a right to say the brachas if he's not going to say the whole Mikra Megillah? He's only going to read the first chapter. Someone else is going to read the second chapter. But to say that you're not yoytze the Mikra Megillah, that's very strange. Anyway, the Shaila comes up every year. Some people go to a minyan and they divided up the Mikra Megillah among 9 different people, 5 different people. Are you yoytze or not? So the Mishnah Berurah has a machloek. The pashtus says that you are yoytze. And there's a klal in the Shulchan Aruch. We have a klal very often. Shas Hatchak in the Evidami. If you have a Shas Hatchak, we allow the Hatchila, but usually it's only allowed by the Evid. So let's say if it's difficult to get one Balkari to lay in the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. Or even if it's not so difficult, but you live in a community where you have to be mechazik the children and shmiras on mitzvahs. So if you'll get each kid to read one chapter, sometimes that'll help him hold on to the whole Yiddishkeit. That sometimes is one of the few mitzvahs that he does all year long. If it's a kid who comes to shul every day, davens, puts on tefillin every day, comes Shabbos, he keeps Shabbos. So he doesn't need that much chizuk. Everybody needs a little chizuk. But in some communities, the balabatim are not, the children are not so observant. So maybe if you have this gimmick to get them into observance, then maybe it's even recommended l'chatchila. Shasatchak, we do l'chatchila, and normally is only allowed by the other. The question is, when you have the separate paragraphs in the Megillah, what are they supposed to be, psuchois or stumois? So the Ramah in Tart Tzadik Aleph writes, he quotes from the Hagos Mamini on the bottom of the Ram, Rosen Kol Parshas Seah Stumas. You have to make them all stumas. V'masom Psuchas Psula. It's possible even with the other. This is a bit of a problem. some of the Sifre HaMasora record that they were all supposed to be psuchas. So the Ramo, we don't do like the Sifre HaMasora, we do like the Ramo says, you make all the parshas tumas. But to the extent that he says if he made it psuchas, it'll pass the Yevet, that's a question. So the Mogen Avraham quotes the Achronim who disagree, quotes Ma'amins disagrees with this Ramo. Why does he disagree? Because the Gemara says in Menachah, the Gemara quotes this Bryson. Bryson says, if you made a psuch into a stuma, stuma into a psuch, you put a stuma, a psuch where it didn't belong, it passes to the Eved, but then the Gemara has a cash, and the Gemara says it's only by Sefer Torah. That din, that a psuch into a stuma into a psuch, a passes to the Eved, only applies to a Sefer Torah. So the Pashtus is Megillas Esther, not a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says it has certain aspects and certain areas of dinot to Sefer Torah. But the Gemara never says with respect to all the dinim. So the pashtus says that if you made psuchas instead of stumas, it wouldn't pass over the other. Just lahatchil, we follow the Ramah that we make all of the paragraphs and make them into stumas. Then the Gemara says when you have the Megillah, you should have ish bereish dafo and aseres b'sof hadaf. These are the 11 lines. Abami Osish, the Yes Parshandos, the Yisdaf, and Yisaspas, the Aseres B'nei Alma take up 10 lines, and the line immediately preceding that is also two columns with empty space in the middle. The Omegil is written line after line after line, no empty spaces in the middle. That's the other stuma, so then you put this stuma there. But when it comes to listing off the Aseres B'nei Haman, they should be written in this specific form. It's considered like a Shira. A Shira means you have empty spaces in the middle. This is not a Shira. But in a certain sense, it's like a shir that has empty spaces in the middle. So the minhag olam always was that you have a Megillah that has, let's say, 30 lines in a column, in an omer, 30, 40 lines in a column. And then when it comes to the Aseres B'nei Haman, the sefer arranges it in such a way that instead of writing 30 lines on that omer, he only writes 11 lines. These 11 lines. Abameyos ish, the ace, parshandosa, the 10 lines of the Aseres B'nei Haman, and the one line of the. But then you have empty spaces all over the place, in between the first line, the second line, and third line. You have a whole bunch of empty spaces. Because instead of having 30, 40 lines, you only have 11 lines. So if you have an empty space, it's considered like putting in a psucha where it didn't belong. So if it would have been a Sefer Torah, that would pass over the Eved. When you put a psucha where it doesn't belong. Gila says to the stomach, does not pass over the Eved, like the other Sifrei HaTanah. But L'chatchili, you're not supposed to do that, so that was an objection that they did that. Then we have a Masora, where you're supposed to put large, sometimes in Tanakh, there's a tradition of Masor that there's a big letter. Sometimes you have a small letter. So the Vav of Vayzas is supposed to be bigger than the other letters, but there's no tradition that all the Aseres B'nei Haman are supposed to be bigger than the rest of the letters. L'maisa, that's what they do. Because every column in the whole Megillah has 35, 40 lines. In this column, we're going to have 11 lines. So you're going to have big empty spaces in between the first line and second line. So no, that shouldn't look so bad. So they have empty spaces in between, but they make the letters larger. The Bava Vaizos is even larger, and all the letters are larger than the other letters of the Megillah. So there is no tradition that's supposed to be Osias Gedolos over here. There's no tradition that's supposed to be empty lines. So some folks can say it's not a problem. Dalmi Hacha, forget about the rest of the Megillah. On this column, all the letters are the same uniform size. There's no Osias Gedolos on this column. Who says you have to compare one column to the next? Others say, who says you should not compare one column? Of course you compare. You should compare the whole, you take everything in context. So you compare. What should you only say? Look at one column. Look at the whole Megillah. The whole Megillah has small letters. In this column, all of a sudden, all the letters are three times as big as the rest of the Megillah. So who told you to put Osias Gedolos? Others say, you only look on this column, so you don't have any empty spaces. Let's say in the regular, say, for the regular Megillah, you can leave as much empty space as you want in between one line and the next. But if you leave uniform empty space in between the first line, second line, third line, fourth line, that's not called a psucha where it didn't belong. If you're going to leave twice that space, then it's called a psucha. So in this one column that only has 11 lines, we leave the same uniform empty space in between the first and the second line, in between the second and third line. So those achrenim who say that you judge whether it's an osias gedolos or osias ktanos, you judge only on this column, and you say this column is consistent. The only Os Gedolah is the Vav of Vayzasa, Shain. There's an Os Katana, the Aleph of Parshandasa or somebody. There's a Tana, there's a Gedolah, and everything else is all uniform size. Even though it's larger than the letters in the rest of the columns, they say that that's good. So they say the same regarding the empty spaces. Now this time, no, you're supposed to compare it to the rest of the whole Megillah. The rest of the Megillah, you don't have such big spaces in between. So that's why it was a big machlokes. So the Vilna Gaon claims that the whole thing is a misunderstanding. Who says that it's supposed to take up a whole column? When it says that you have to have the word ish, arbam yos ish, veis pashan dos, ish bereish dafo, does mean the top of the column and aseris, the sofa daf, means the bottom of the column. No. It doesn't mean that. You have 40 lines on this column like you have on every other column. So the first 29 lines, let's say, the first 29 lines will be written. Then when it comes to the last 11 lines, or the first 10 lines will be written. Then it comes to the next 11 lines. You have ish, habamios ish, and then you have 11 lines like any other 11 lines, and it'll end off with the word aseret. And then you have the rest, written. Who says that these 11 lines have to take up the whole column? So that's what the Gro holds, but the Minigolim is not so. You make a whole omud out of it. So in order to satisfy the both opinions, that's what the Chayyodim has a whole arichas on this. In order to satisfy the both opinions, there are some who are mahadir to write a Megillah that should only have 11 lines throughout the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. Because this column, you only want to make 11 lines. You don't want to make extra lines in between. You don't want to skip lines. So make the whole Megillah uniform. Yeah, but then it's going to be a short, fat Megillah. It's not going to be able to be tall and thin. It's going to be three times as long. If normally a Megillah has 30 lines in every column, and then you're going to make a Megillah, but there is only has 11 lines. But then it's going to have to be three times as long. It's going to be a longer Megillah. It keeps on going and going. The same story, the same number of words in the Megillah. But the piece of parchment is going to be three times as long. So that's why others didn't like that chumrah. They write the whole Megillah should only have 11 lines. Made a Megillah with 30, 40 lines, the normal size. And then on this page, they made the whole column they made up the Aseres Bnei Amos. They're afraid to do, most are afraid to do like the Vilna Gaon. That you write on top and you write on the bottom, in the middle of 11 lines, you write like this. What do you mean? No, it's not so. Bereish dafo, it's Eish dafo. It's a big machlokes. That's in Tof Reish Tzadik Aleph. The Goyim in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Goyim introduced the minig that everybody should give Zechel Amachzis HaShekel in the month of Adar. This was a fundraising gimmick to raise money for the yeshiva. The Goyim Bavel were very upset about this minig. They said it's against Halacha. The Gemara says himself, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to say on a behem, even on a slice of flesh before Pesach, Basazeh LePesach, because it sounds like it's for the Korban Pesach. The word Pesach has two meanings. The holiday Pesach and the carbon Pesach. So despite the fact that it has two meanings, when the Balabasta says, I'm setting aside this flesh for Pesach, she means the Yom Tov Pesach, but the Gemara says, but it's still a Marisayim. Some of the people would think that she's planning to use it for the carbon Pesach, and we don't have any Beis Hamikdash, so it's a Marisayim that they're reading Kachim Bachut. So certainly more so over here, he's saying, setting aside money for Matzah Shekel. Matzah Shekel only means one thing. Matzah Shekel doesn't have two meanings. In the days of the Gaonim, Matzah Shekel, when they started this meaning, days of the Gaonim, it only meant one thing. Matzah Shekel was the Hekdish to get money that they donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gaonim Bavel were very upset about this. So the Gaonim Eretz Yisrael said there's nothing to be worried about because the Yerushalmi in the end of Shkolim, on the last half in Shkolim, says we passing like the Tana Reb Shimon. And the Tana Reb Shimon is quoted in the Braisa, and the Mishnah doesn't quote the whole Reb Shimon, only quotes half. Tana in the Braisa, they quote Reb Shimon says that is man shein beis hamikdash kaim. Even if you mafish matzah shekel, it's not chal. So the Gaon said you can't go wrong. It's impossible to be magdish matzah shekel. This man said whatever you say, even if you have in mind the feirish l'shem matzah shekel, it's not going to be kodesh. So there's no michshol. That's what they said. The Gaon Eretz Yisrael never heard of this Yerushalmi on Shkolim. They had no such thing. They said, you got us. In Kabbalah, in the Kabbalah, but they weren't so convinced that it was right. So that's why Shulchan Aruch says, you got to be careful. No one should think that it's really Machzah Shekel. They should all know that it's only Zechel and Machzah Shekel. That's why on some of the signs they put it that it's Zechel and Machzah Shekel. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Megillah that Sudas Purim Shasor Balayla Lo Yotzei Dechavosah. That's Tov Reish Tzadikei. What does it mean if he made it Balayla Lo Yotzei Dechavosah? So the Ramah quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim from the Mordechai. Some Rishonim say it's insufficient Just like on every Shabbos and Yom, you have to have Sudachas Balayla, Sudah Shniyah Bayom. Shabbos, you have three Sudahs. So Purim also is like every other Yom, you have to have two Sudahs. A Fleshik Sudah Balayla and a Fleshik Sudah Bayom. And others say no, that there's no mitzvah Sudah Balayla at all. Here in the neighborhood, they have different yekkes from different parts of Germany. So some of them will be dafke have a milchi meal, Leil Purim, to demonstrate that they, you're not yekse anything. But the Rambam says that Sudah Purim has to be basa v'yayin. And others will have dafke afleishik Sudah balayla because it's machlek of the Rishonim. And half of the Rishonim, the Rambam quotes, the kama kama gam balayla, yismach v'yabek tzatz v'sudah. Rambam is machmer for that opinion in the Mordechai. You should have two Sudahs, achas bayom, achas balayla. And the Rambam says they should both have basa v'yayin. The Rambam writes that the Adelo Yoda is a prat within the Yayin. You should have both of the Yayin Adelo Yoda. That's why the Adelo Salvation gets quoted as having said that if someone gets drunk, Shalot, the Emsa Asuda, he's not yet say anything. Just the detail as to how one should be, I'd say, the both of the Yayin of the Suda. What does it mean, Adelo Yoda? So the Ramor and Shulchanot quotes from the Rambam, Adelo Yoda doesn't mean you should get stone drunk like a shikr. It's a Jewish Halloween. It's not supposed to be like that. He should drink yosef milimudai. He should drink more than he's used to drinking. When he took kaf yishan, he should take him fall asleep. He should become drowsy. Once he's going to be half asleep or asleep, then he won't know. Adaliyada ben orham on the baruch marcha. So that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah. There's no inyan of getting drunk and acting drunk. Purim is supposed to be the yontav on which we celebrate the kabbalah sater the second time around. So it's supposed to be such a the Kovadik is Simcha, and the Rambam says the person should learn. He should start learning before he has the Sudas Purim, and the Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, so they quote from the Vilna Gaon, should start learning Hilchos Pesach. On Purim, I'll learn Hilchos Purim, I'll learn whatever, learn Sanhedrin for the Bechina. How's it for the Bechina? Okay, we got about Milchus Umi. Beilach and Purim. Oh, did I mention? It seems that the consensus among the students is that they would prefer to have the Chagig in my home on Matzoy Shabbos rather than to have it tonight. So we're changing this month. Okay. Don't be Matzoy Shabbos.